It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorneys. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
The Dave Hooker Show.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Objective insight, expertise, top guests. Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app.
Download now for free.
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I compute and obey.
Now to Dave Hooker.
Ready. Here we go with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. Welcome to the program. We have a couple of Tennessee coaches that don't see the spring transfer portal exactly the same. Apparently, Josh Heupel doesn't know Tennessee's playing Oklahoma. I think that was a little gamesmanship out there. And Tennessee gets a D for their transfer portal pickups. I'm not sure why. We're just not talking about incompletes. That's what Tennessee should have gotten. I don't know that you even get a grade if you don't do anything in the spring transfer portal. Did Brian Kelly take a bit of a shot at Tennessee? Was Tennessee tampering with Lance Hurd? Wouldn't rule that out. Caleb DeBoer may be too nice. I'm talking to someone who was at a pro-am in Birmingham, and Caleb DeBoer is signing so many autographs that the guy behind him, Nick Saban, can't get to the tee box. We'll discuss. Caleb DeBoer should be nice, a dictator. We've got a lot to get to as well. Caleb suddenly falling apart. Are you okay, Caleb?
I am good, Dave. I am totally fine.
For those in our audio platforms, we don't know what happened to Caleb. We couldn't see it on the screen, but you are okay because that's the biggest concern.
Knocked over a bunch of beer cans.
Nothing like that beer can sound early in the morning. Depending on when you're watching, this is our Thursday edition. So hit that like and subscribe button. We greatly appreciate that. Look at all those that are on the message board already saying hit like and subscribe, you hookers or you Johns. Today's tough question, Rick Barnes.
Today's tough question. Take a side.
Take a stand.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of offthehooksports.com.
Tennessee could go into the season with three open scholarships. That, to me, sounds bizarre. That you wouldn't use your full allotment of scholarships. I want to dive into it, but on today's tough question, and we can get this on our YouTube page, something to the effect of, hey, is Rick Barnes making a mistake not filling out his roster? No, Tennessee's fine with what they've got. Rick Barnes knows what he's doing. Or yes, you need everybody you can get. Caleb, this struck me as incredibly weird, having covered football recruiting for so long. This isn't common, is it? Teams don't go into the regular season with 10 players instead of 12 on scholarship, which is the allotment, do they?
No, and you know what's really weird about it is, to me, Rick Barnes, this is almost a way of thinking like it's the old days where you were recruiting four-year guys and expected them to be around. I guess back in those days, you did worry about wasting a roster spot. But in the era of college basketball, where there's way more attrition than college football already, and in the era of the transfer portal, do you really worry about wasting a roster spot anymore?
No, because it's totally kosher to nowadays say that, hey, bud, I got bad news for you. You can't play at this level. You used to not be able to get away with that. You can now. It's changed completely. Brought to you by the Hemp House, the premier hemp dispensary online, with a wide variety, great selection, and strict standards to ensure you only receive the best in CBD or Delta products. That's HempHouseChatWith2Ts.com. Use the promo code HOOK for 10% off. HOOK for 10% off. HempHouseChatWith2Ts.com. I guess the question is, Rick Barnes waiting on one player. And I think we know who that player is, but waiting on any one guy is scary to me if I'm a Tennessee fan.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave. I've looked at Chaz Lanier's numbers. I believe he is a guy that could immediately be an elite player at the Tennessee level. That's who we're talking about. He's going through NBA draft workouts now. He's a North Florida transfer from Nashville, for those who don't know. Everybody's waiting on him. Other schools are in play now. Would you rather try to fill all three scholarship spots or use all of that energy, all of that capital, and all of the NIL money that you have left to just try to get Chaz Lanier?
See, it's my understanding if you get Chaz Lanier there from some people I told to within the program, there are a couple more that will fall in place. So really it's him. I mean, it's down to one guy to get those couple of more to fall in place. And then you've got a full roster, and this seems like a silly conversation in a month. But right now, you're waiting on a young man, and the latest report by On3 is that Kentucky could be in the lead for this transfer guard. Now, that would be the worst of the news, right? If he's supposed to bring a couple of his guys with him, and he ends up at Kentucky, then where's Tennessee? Is Tennessee playing with 9 scholarship players? I mean, surely not. I guess I could understand from 12 to 11, but any lower than that just seems like bad roster management to me.
Yeah, particularly when if you have 9 scholarship players and they can all be valuable, fine. I know it's not football, but injuries do happen. I mean, Zakai Ziegler is a season removed from a season-ending ACL injury.
It was funny how you mentioned that because Dalton Kinnett got hurt this year. It seems like it's happening in basketball actually more often. The show represented by Banks & Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney, Play to Win. Banks and Jones. Why Banks and Jones? Other lawyers say they'll go to trial. They won't. They'll settle for less. Banks and Jones ready to go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. So is it a red flag? If not Lanier, or if not somebody else is a member of this class, if they basically go into the season with what they have, is that a red flag for Rick Barnes?
I think Barnes is making a mistake with that. I will say this. I will say this in defense of Rick Barnes, and it's a little bit different depending on the program you run. But if you're an elite recruiter and you get talent, you can be the type of coach who adapts to your personnel and chemistry. Is that fair to say, Dave? Like if you can actually get the talent, you can be the adapt to your personnel type of coach. If you don't have the talent, you need to run a specific system type of coach, and you need to recruit who can build that system. I think Barnes is getting enough talent now to where he can adapt to his personnel, which allows him to be selective about the players he chooses. It's very similar to, I bring this up all the time. I mean, Tennessee football in the 90s, David Cutcliffe was a master of adapting to his personnel, but he was able to do that because Tennessee got whoever they wanted, whenever they wanted on the recruiting trail. So he could have the multi-set offenses with Heath Shuler, the pro style with Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Peyton Manning, what do you think of Chaz going to the G League?
They're like, that is total bullshit.
He's not going to the G League. NIL money could pay him more at Tennessee. I don't know what's going to happen with the G League, but I tell you what it scares me of, and nobody's told me this, I'm reading the tarot cards from the outside, is that he's trying to find leverage to get more money from his chosen school. You know, I always get worried about a guy who's tripping over nickels when billions are at play. I know that's a Calipari saying, but I think it's a good one. I hope he's not just thinking he can use the G League for reference, or I'm sorry, for leverage. I hope that's not the case, but There's no way that Tennessee couldn't pay him more than the G League.
Well, let's break down how you could be tripping over nickels in search of millions. In Chaz Lanier's case, he may already know where he's going, and he's thinking about the draft, but he's saying, you know what, I might as well try to leverage what I can get NIL-wise before I make my commitment. How often do we see coaches do that, Dave? Coaches who we know are staying at the spot they're at, but they're like, oh, you know, this school has offered me, or the school is entertaining me, and they do that to get a contract extension, don't they? Or a salary raise. It happens all the time.
Yes, but this is the equivalent of doing that with like a middle school team.
I get it, but with Chad, if you're Chaz Lanier, I guess the way he's thinking is, I can max out some of the leverage. Look, guys, he's not going to the G League. If for anything, oh,
I mean, that's my point. It just seems like he's wasting time and being a.
But that's not going to hurt that. That's not going to hurt him from an NIL. That's not going to hurt his NFL and NBA draft, you know, prospects a year down the road. Tripping over nickels in search of millions is if you pick the wrong school based on NIL money and it devalues your draft stock. Chaz Lanier is not doing that. He's just seeing if he can maximize what he's getting with where he wants to go.
Right. But let me ask you this. If he's that upset with Tennessee and Kentucky money, whatever's being offered, and he goes to the G League to try to get leverage, you've got to question his intelligence, right? Because they only pay like $40,500 a year.
Yes. Also, because the G League will be there next year, and Chaz Lanier could turn himself into an NBA draft pick by playing at Tennessee or Kentucky, not going to the G League. So he could turn himself into getting much more guaranteed money if he goes to Tennessee or Kentucky or somewhere for next year.
Tennessee has NIL janitors that are making $40,500 a year. I mean, that's not
Coop here. First down.
Right. Thank you, Coop. Sorry. I don't know why you said that. That was the wrong drop. They have they have NIL janitors that are making that type of cash. So it's not going to be hard to get him $40,000. I just think that's it worries me about his grades too.
I mean, no, I don't think Chad, look, he's not actually entertaining this. He's leveraging it. Danny White's probably seeing this and going to say, you know what? They're right. So I'm not even going to try to negotiate back. But Chaz Lanier is leveraging this. He has his plan in place. It's like the recruit. In recruiting in college football, where players know which school they're going to, but they want all the benefits of the recruiting visits, right? So they go to all the different schools, and they get all the hostesses to show them around and all the fun.
Love the hostesses.
Love them.
Because of their knowledge of the campus. I hope he's not just trying to play leverage against Tennessee. That's not a good way to start a relationship. And the simple fact is, well, you're going again, it would be the equivalent of you saying that the Pal Post is hiring, so they have come at me, Caleb Calhoun, with an offer that I would be like, no, they didn't. I mean, I know the Pal Post has like 500 copies. I wouldn't go to the G League.
I don't think here's what I think he's going through the NBA draft workouts to increase his value. And here's what's happening. All right, I'm going to give you my conspiracy. Crazy Caleb takes coming. Crazy Caleb conspiracy coming. Y'all ready?
That's crazy.
I think he's outsmarting Mark Pope. Now, just hear me out on this, okay?
The head coach at Kentucky, for those that don't.
The head coach of Kentucky. Yes, I think he's committed to Tennessee secretly.
Hey, now.
I think he's doing the NBA draft workouts in the G League. I don't think he's let Tennessee know he's committed. He's doing all of this to get Mark Pope and Kentucky interested and lead them to believe they have a shot. And with Kentucky interested, he can drive up his NIL value for Tennessee.
Okay, we are known to break news. We are not saying we're breaking news. We are speculating here. But
this is total speculation.
Okay, let me throw out another speculation. What if he's at those G League games recruiting for Tennessee and Tennessee does know?
That's highly possible, too. That's very possible.
I was just told to watch out for that. But still, you would like for his decision to be made. For whatever reason, whether he's playing the system or the system's playing him, you would have liked to have seen this decision be made so Tennessee can go on with its business and think to themselves, hey, we get all of our scholarships this year. Because I still can't get beyond how goofy that sounds not to use all your scholarships.
I totally agree. And by the way, guys, for those questioning, Dave and I, if you want to know the difference between speculation and breaking, it was news last year when we told you Boo Carter's not committing to Colorado, and everybody disagreed with us. They're like, oh my God, no, he's going to go to Colorado because of Deion Sanders and Coach Prime's amazing. And
I won't do the voice, but it was also news when they had a players-only meeting, which I think I showed or proved to be a harbinger of things to come. And no, that did not come from Jacob or Cooper, which everybody just naturally thought. So, yeah, we're speculating in this regard.
This is all speculation and conjecture, yeah.
I don't think it's bad speculation at all. I don't think it's bad speculation, and I think it's pretty intriguing. Now, as far as rivals, they gave Tennessee a D in football when it comes to their transfer portals. Is there not an incomplete available? Let's break down that list in 60 seconds, the show represented by Banks and Jones. Well, it's because they're Tennessee's trial attorney. You can play to win with Banks and Jones because they'll go to trial. You've heard of other lawyers. They say they'll go to trial and fight for you. They won't. They just want to settle. That's the easiest way out. Well, that's not Banks and Jones, led by T. Scott Jones. They won't settle. They'll go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. They play to win. Truly, Tennessee's trial attorney when it comes to criminal defense or personal injury. Why settle? Banks and Jones, T. Scott Jones, banksandjones.com.
What the? What was he thinking?
Release the hounds.
The Dave Hooker Show.
Keep cool.
A presentation of offthehooksports.com.
All right, let's go to our friends at Rivals for the ranking of the spring transfer portal. Tennessee's ranking was a D. What all does that take into account? Because I would rather keep a guy like Cooper Mays that I know can play at the SEC level than go out and get a superstar in the spring transfer portal that only has about 3 months to learn the system. I think a D in the spring transfer portal is a duh. Who cares? It's not going to have a big impact on your football team this upcoming football season.
The big story of the spring transfer portal, and this is what everybody gets wrong, it's reflective of spring practice. So it's a win if you don't lose guys more than anything. Tennessee lost one key player from last year, and that was Elijah Herring. But we know they've upgraded at Mike linebacker anyway.
In the spring, right?
Right, in the spring, yeah.
I just want to clarify.
But we know that they've upgraded at Mike linebacker anyway. And so that came as no shock to anybody. As much as we all respected Elijah Herring, it wasn't like we were like, oh no, Elijah Herring can't play and everybody thought he could. No, we knew exactly what he could do. So him entering the portal after having started last year, that was only, all that meant was that other players emerged at Mike linebacker. Now, if Arian Carter had hit the transfer portal, we'd be raising a red flag, right? We'd be saying, sure. Oh no, that means he didn't develop or emerge at linebacker. But yeah, that's, so worrying about losing Elijah Herring and not picking anybody up doesn't make any sense. Most of the players you pick up in the spring transfer portal, you don't really want.
What's the top end? What's Elijah Herring's ceiling in the 2024 season if he were still a Vol? I will say special teams player, reserve linebacker. And when I say reserve, I want to put that in italics because I think they're going to ask the vast majority of their first stringers in Carter and Keenan Pilley to play first team snaps when the game's still on the line. So I say ultra reserve linebacker, and I say a special teams player. Your thoughts on that? Brought to you by our friends at Boundless Moving. From the 2-hour minimum to turnkey operations, they got you covered. I love Boundless Moving. East Tennessee, they moved me. They care about your stuff too, and they should move you. Boundless Moving in East Tennessee and in Charlotte. So check them out, Boundless Moving. Tell them Off the Hook Sports sent you. And be sure and support our sponsors. That's how we grow and bring in big time lineup that we've got ready for the fall. So what's the ceiling for Elijah Herring if he stays at Tennessee? I mean, what did Tennessee lose? Worst case scenario. And let's assume Pilley and Carter stay healthy.
Well, what's the ceiling for Elijah Herring if he stays at Tennessee? I think maybe it would be third string Mike linebacker, special teams player. Jeremiah Thielander was a better Mike linebacker than Elijah Herring. So he was pushed back. And guys, let's be upfront about this. I say this every single time because they're college kids and I don't like to do this a lot of times. I don't like to talk about a player's lack of ability if I feel like they're doing everything they possibly can and playing their hearts out and doing everything right and they're very smart. And Elijah Herring is all of those things.
I call that the Michael Munoz rule.
Yes. Michael Munoz did everything he was supposed to do.
Turns out he had heavy feet. He wasn't as athletic as his dad. But by golly, he was a solid starter for, what, 3, maybe 4 years at Tennessee, and then said the NFL ain't for me because he knew he was limited physically.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. Elijah Herring is that. He's just limited because of his lateral quickness isn't there. It would work at the Big Ten probably, and he could work at a lot of, and maybe even the ACC, but you can't. It gets exposed when you play elite SEC football offenses. That's where it gets exposed. And I say that with all the respect in the world for him.
Let's take a look for a second at the top transfers and where they went in the SEC. Because I assume D isn't very high in the SEC. But are we able to break it down by just the spring transfer portal? Because my argument is there might not even be a spring transfer portal in 2 or 3 years. It's so worthless. But did some SEC teams, I know that Alabama got their offensive lineman back who had left. What did the SEC teams do? Tennessee gets a D. How about the rest of them?
All right, so Arkansas got a B+ because they added a bunch of Group of Five FCS transfers. Again, I think that's even a bigger red flag. If you add them in December, it's one thing because they're trying their shot at the next level, like McAllen Castles. If you add them after the spring, that leads me to believe they were struggling to start at their Group of Five or FCS school. And you think they're going to work in the SEC? But that's what Arkansas did. Auburn got an A, but again, Auburn went for Isaiah Reichs of USC, Keandre Lambert of Penn State. Those guys went to Auburn because they weren't able to start it where they were. Florida got a C+, but okay, whatever. We love to make fun of Florida. They didn't lose anybody. So, I mean, Florida's issues have nothing to do with the spring transfer portal. And so that's overrated. They got a USC offensive lineman. Georgia got a B because of Jaden Rashada. Again, I think for them, not losing anybody was a big deal. Kentucky got a B. This was before the Rutgers transfer went there. LSU got a B-. Mississippi State got a B-. Missouri got a B+. Oklahoma got an A. Ole Miss got an A-.
Would you agree with me that most of these guys aren't expected to contribute in 2024?
Most of these guys are going to be back in the portal in 2025. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. Most spring transfer portal guys.
I think the exception is Jaden Rashada. I think that he got a tough deal at Florida. He went to Arizona where his dad went, or is it Arizona State, I believe. And he went there and he tried to make things work, but he got a raw deal. So I understand him coming back, being a part of the SEC. Really, he'll be more significant than the rest of those guys you just mentioned put together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He'll immediately be the second string quarterback, and he's not going to start this year. He didn't even plan to try to start this year. He went because he wants to develop for a year and then start after Carson Beck is gone. So I think that, but outside of that, the key for the spring transfer portal is you don't lose guys. I don't know how Tennessee got a D and everybody else got a C or above, and everybody but two other schools got a B or above, or B minus or above. I think that's an overreaction to losing Elijah Herring, but I just don't think that's, again, you know,
is Tennessee a better football team with Elijah Herring's scholarship in hand and the potential that they could get a high level player or Elijah Herring on the team? I'm just going to ask you straight up. That's the question. You're doing roster management. His name comes up. You're the guys in Office Space who have to cut people. Is he on the team?
That goes back to the whole Rick Barnes philosophy. Do you waste a scholarship on a player or not? I guess if you're not using that scholarship, I think they are better with him because I think he can at least be of some service.
I wouldn't have run him off, but I wouldn't have been upset when he left. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Oh, yeah, that's a great way. And you know when he would have been great? It's unfortunate that he's stuck in this time. If this were 20 years ago, he'd have been a great outside linebacker in a 4-3 scenario, kind of like the Ryan Carl type. Remember Ryan Carl?
Yes, absolutely.
Elijah Herring could have perfectly been that, right?
He would have been great at that. He would have been great for most of the history of college football, right? Except for the past 10 years where you don't start a nickelback and you don't have to be ultra fast across the board. I mean, he would have been the starting middle linebacker at almost any school when people ran the ball in a more traditional sense.
He would have. It's the change. It's the way they've spread the field more on offense now that makes him not as good of a fit. You know, the funny part about this, Dave, he might even be more of a fit for the NFL than he is college. No, I don't think he's going to the NFL, but because of the way you can use the hash marks in college, it's even worse for Elijah Herring because you need more lateral quickness.
I agree with that. And explain the hash marks things really quick for those that didn't get that. And by the way, I see where you said Daniel said Munoz didn't give up a sack. Totally agree. I'm not saying that he wasn't a good player. He was a four-year starter. That's a very good player. I'm just saying that physically he was not nearly as gifted as his dad, who may be the greatest offensive tackle in the history of man. So, I mean, that's a pretty high mark to get out there. So, Caleb, what was I asking you for?
So the thing with the hash marks, and this is what helps Josh Heupel's offense to a certain degree, is they're so much closer to the sidelines in college football. They're so much more spread out that you're allowed to line up way further apart, way more spread out than you are in the NFL. You can line up almost next to the sideline, which is how Josh Heupel's offense works, the wide splits at receiver.
Right.
By being able to do that, you can do a lot more horizontal run plays. And for somebody like Elijah Herring, who just doesn't have lateral quickness, that's a problem. Now, in the NFL, you know this, Dave. In the NFL, the game is much more vertical, isn't it, than college?
Yes.
And so Elijah Herring could probably work in the NFL. The only time it's not vertical in the NFL is the West Coast offense, but that's when they're throwing the ball. The run game is entirely vertical in the NFL.
And I think you tried to say something really, really nice about Elijah Herring, and I think he appreciates it. But I think the bottom line is he's not good enough to play championship football in the SEC. Sorry.
He's not.
Dude. He's not. I mean, and if that.
And it all comes down to his lateral quickness. He's just not quick enough horizontally. That's what it comes down to.
See, I think the correct grade would have been C for average. Because I don't think the roster really changed with Herring gone. Tell you who you don't want gone in your life when it comes to customer service, Don Self. Customer service still matters. I know we're all shopping for that best rate. Talk some more Tennessee linebackers like we talked. The fantastic customer service when you need to file a claim. It's that simple. They're in the greater Chattanooga area, but if they need to send you someplace else, they can do that. DonSelf.net, DonSelf.net. Right below, call 423-396-2126. That's 423-396-2126. Why not just a C? And would you ever give somebody a grade, Caleb, that was above average based off players they lost? Not players they got, but who they lost. If you're doing this grading thing, it would be pretty funny. You got to admit, if Tennessee had gotten like a B plus and like a one paragraph or one line paragraph. Did you see Elijah Herring play last year? New graph.
I wouldn't have given any grade. I don't give grades for spring transfer portals. And the reason I don't give grades is because I don't think they matter. They are only a reflection on what the personnel already is. It's not about the – I only grade winter transfer portals, December transfer portals. That's the only one I grade.
Fine. And I agree with that. And you will not be seeing – any spring transfer portal grade stories up anytime soon. What about Brian Kelly kind of accusing the Vols of some tampering? That's what he did. He's not afraid to throw that out there. And I think we're talking about a guy that you may have heard of with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker off the Hook Sports.
Fifth year. The second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment like American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
Dare to compare.
Experience it all at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Need a quick fix or routine maintenance? Visit our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. Keep your Ford running smoothly with the experts in our service department. Ready for your next Ford? Our sales team's here to guide you through. 24 Ford Badlands Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks & Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
You're listening to The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
The internet is full of pictures of each and every one of you.
Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app. Download now for free.
Is there nothing you people can't do?
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I fixed NIL. It was just that simple. Bam! Did it during the break. What you think about that? So let's revisit our poll question. Rick Barnes may go into the season without a full complement of scholarship players. Yeesh. That seems weird to me, but what are we hearing on the message board as far as fans? Are you outraged or not?
Fans, 70% say it's not a mistake. He knows what he's doing. 30% say, yes, you need everyone you can get.
Okay. Portions of the program brought to you by our good friends at Newbert Collision Center. They bring you John Adams each and every Tuesday. You're not going to believe what LSU's head coach had to say about the Vols.
Fifth year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
LSU head coach Brian Kelly. LSU head coach Brian Kelly said, quote, "We're not in the market of buying players, and unfortunately right now that's what some guys are looking for." Tennessee bought their offensive tackle. There's no question about it. Somebody was going to do it. He wasn't happy. He started one time last season as a true freshman. Lance Hurd wanted to play, and he wasn't going to do it there. Do you think Brian Kelly was referring to Tennessee and Lance Hurd when he made this comment to Channel 9 in Baton Rouge?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And then Josh Heupel was later asked about it, and Josh Heupel gave his diplomatic, "I'm not going to really comment on this" answer. He said he was specifically asked about the comments yesterday, and he said, "There's a lot of different layers to the cake that's getting baked. At the end of the day, we want guys that want to be here, that it matters, but are looking for the type of culture and environment." Yada, 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 all that Josh Heupel political speak that he gives. Brian Kelly, let me be fair to Brian Kelly, Dave, because I actually understand his frustration, okay? Could you imagine if you're Brian Kelly? You were loyal at Notre Dame for what, 12 years, 13 years? Mm-hmm. With the recruit in the recruiting decks, I don't care how prestigious and historic the program is, the recruiting deck is really stacked against you at Notre Dame. Really stacked against you.
Yes. And for those that don't know, the reason is you have no say in players that can get in the school academically or as far as character-wise, what they've done off the field. And you have no say on discipline. And they also have to live in the dorm rooms as long as they're a player, which would be hell on earth. But yes, you have a great amount of challenges at Notre Dame that you don't have elsewhere.
Yeah. And then just on top of all that, you don't have a lot of talent in your backyard in Indiana. you have to go into Chicago or Michigan or Ohio, which, I mean, I guess historically they did get Chicago kids, right? In the Northern Illinois area. That was mostly their recruiting ground. But outside of that, it's not like they don't have a fertile ground the way other schools do. So you're right. You're so limited. So what does Brian Kelly do? He finally says, screw it. I've done the max of what I can do at Notre Dame as much as I wanted to win here. I'm bolting for LSU, where the recruiting ground is super fertile and I can get players in my backyard. And imagine what a coach with my brains could do at a school like LSU, given the fact that they hadn't had a coach for brains since Nick Saban, with brains since Nick Saban. So I think he bolts for LSU. He bolts for LSU right after NIL becomes legalized in 2021. But I don't think he could have foreseen how much of a big deal it would have become. And immediately tampering became part of NIL and all of these other things that literally took away the recruiting advantages he thought he was going to have at LSU.
Let me tell you why banning tampering is a problem for the NCAA. We'll make it real clear for the NCAA. So if you don't like the NCAA, hit the like button and make sure you've subscribed. Rick Terry Jewelry Design. They want to be your jeweler looking for affordable game day jewelry. How about the Fire Opals, the Tennessee tradition? RickTerryJewelry.com. RickTerryJewelry.com. It's illegal. Now, if you want to put into a contract that player X cannot leave for another SEC school and you're going to pay him $500,000 in NIL for a year, I think that's a good way of going about it. We haven't even discussed that. Put a non-compete in your contracts with football players. I think that's a really good idea. But if he wants to stop tampering, Brian Kelly, he's barking up the wrong tree. That's never, ever going to stop because it is illegal. You can't stop me from calling someone else and saying, would you be interested in this job? You can stop me financially from taking it, quite possibly, in a well-written contract, but it's illegal. All of this is illegal. We're talking about a free market society. So I think his comment not only sounded a little pitiful, a little petty, I also thought it sounded a little bit defeatist as well, Caleb.
I think it did. And that's why, as bitter as it sounded, I can't blame him because he bolted for LSU with a totally, the reason he left his job at Notre Dame was because of the expectations he thought he was going to have with the fertile recruiting ground at LSU. And the landscape changed under his feet the minute he made the move. Think about it, Dave. He made this move at 60. He made this move at 60 because he wanted to make the gutsy move to try to make a run at a national championship for his coaching career. And then the advantage he thought he had for why he made a move at 60 just changed on him overnight. And so I think he's frustrated about it to a certain degree. And you can see the schools that are frustrated about it. What are the three coaches that have complained about NIL? Five, actually. Okay, we'll go five. Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney. Those two complain about it because they were getting recruiting discounts for people to come play for them because they were national championship winning coaches. And then Brian Kelly, Kirby Smart, Ryan Day. What do they all have in common? What have I told you in the past? They are all three at schools that you can wake up and get a top five recruiting class without even leaving your office. And that's...
Here's the other thing. Hit the like and subscribe button. If you're a coach at 99% of the other schools, are you not like, cry me a dad blame river? You're at LSU, which just in and of itself, given their tradition and their ability to raise funds, should be a top five NIL school. I mean, if they're running things right, it should be that. And it probably doesn't need to be that because the kids want to stay close to home. It just sounds like he's throwing his hands up in the air. It's like, I'm beat on this guy, in particular Hurd, so I'm just going to try to get some sympathy from the fans. Well, the sympathy from the fans just doesn't come down the pike at a place like LSU.
No, but LSU, no school has mismanaged over its history its elite potential like LSU.
Good Lord, look at the win-loss record from the 80s.
It's funny because
the 90s, really.
It's funny because we had John Adams on the show the other day and he talked about how bad LSU was before Nick Saban got there. And it was kind of implied that I was overrating the LSU job. I'm like, no, that's just because of how incompetently run the administration was until Mark Emmert got there. Whenever you think about Mark Emmert, LSU was the worst run school in the SEC for a long time. And so I think that was what held them back. And they finally were like, hey, you know, if we put a little money into this thing, we could have a really good program. And so that's the problem with them. They're always behind the curve. Should, but here's the thing. The funny part about this is it's such a change pendulum swing because LSU is losing this advantage. Tennessee, whatever you want to think about Tennessee, Danny White, they've gotten ahead of the curve like that with NIL, and they've been on top of everything. And they basically said this: Tennessee's philosophy with Danny White has been, cry me a river about your complaints about NIL. We're going to do what we want to do because we can.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is that already happening with tampering? Is Tennessee essentially tampering because they know that to prevent some employer from doing so is illegal? And that's bad. So yes. Are they knowingly tampering, knowing now that 2 or 3 months from now, Brian Kelly might just say, I want to tell you it's Tennessee. It's Tennessee. They tampered, or some other school might do this. They want to go public. Are they already complaining to the commissioner about Tennessee tampering? Is Tennessee in a position that they think tampering is legal? And if this ever went to court, they would win, just like they did in the last lawsuit, which was more around prospects getting cash before they got on campus. Is Tennessee tampering right now and saying, let's see what happens, let's see how it shakes out? I think they probably are, because they were in a lead position for Hurd almost as soon as the portal opened, right?
Yes. And oh, they are totally in a position, and they're about to get further ahead of it. Dave, there's because you just brought up something about non-competes, and that's the way to get around it, and they would have done that. And guys, I don't like to get political, so I'm not going to take a side on this, but I'm just going to tell you what has happened. At the end of April, I don't know if you saw this, Dave, the Biden's Federal Trade Commission appointee banned non-compete clauses across the country. So going into effect in August, all non-compete clauses are banned. And
but that's the case. Why couldn't you say in the NFL? Is that because you're agreeing to it with a union? So in other words, you're telling me that for these things too, you're going to have to unionize to take advantage of those rules though, right? Help me.
Well, no. Okay. So like in the NFL, that doesn't mean that you can't go work for somebody else when you sign a contract with somebody. It doesn't mean like, oh, I signed a contract with this team, now I can go play for this team. No, but what it does say, the NFL already doesn't really have a non-compete clause. And what I mean by that is, if you're under contract with an NFL team, you're under contract. What this non-compete ban says is that team can't tell you that when your contract is up, you can't go play for this team. You know what I mean? And the thing with NIL is to do the contracts. To worry about other schools, you would have to make them sign a clause saying if you transfer, you can't transfer to any of these schools. That's going to be banned. What you could do, now this would be a big, what you could do is make them sign the contract and say, you have to stay in this program. You can't transfer, period, over 2 or 3 years, whatever.
Well, Dylan points it out. The hard part is drawing the line on what tampering exactly is. The great recruiters build relationships with these guys even before the transfer portal was so open and you might get back involved with him. But great recruiters have relationships with these guys. So if you text a guy that you recruited that you lost out on, like a Jalen Hyatt, I bet there were some recruiters the night he scored 5 touchdowns against Alabama and Tennessee won that texted him, that recruited him in the past. Say, I knew you had it in you. Great job. They weren't necessarily doing it to try to tamper, but technically that would be tampering. Listen, the football community is a very tight one. I bet you there were no less than coaches from 8 to 10 other schools that on that night they congratulated Jalen Hyatt. Are they now accused of tampering? Where do you draw the line? I don't know how a line can possibly be drawn. I will tell you this, the top 5 programs in the SEC, Alabama, LSU, not Florida right now, but typically Florida, those schools that have plenty of NIL money and plenty of support, shut your mouth. Brian Kelly, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from really Josh Heupel. I don't want to hear it from Kalen DeBoer. You have an advantage over the Mississippi States of the world, so don't complain about the current system that's ongoing. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I agree, but I certainly wouldn't want to hear it from Josh Heupel anyway, because Josh Heupel in Tennessee is building their program off tampering. Okay, basically Tennessee has built their program off.
That would be rather hypocritical, wouldn't it?
Yes. They have built their program recently doing what I said they should do. I said, by the way, and this was during the Jeremy Pruitt days, Dave. It was actually first year of Jeremy Pruitt. I remember I was on a radio show and we were having a conversation on, can Tennessee ever return to the elite status they were in the 90s? And we both came to the same agreement. They can, but they'll have to send the middle finger up to NCAA rules and say, we want to be the Yankees and the Red Sox of college football, and we dare you to stop us. Well, they got lucky with the NIL Supreme Court ruling, but they've kind of done that, haven't they? They've kind of just said, you know what? We're going to be the Yankees and the Red Sox, and who's going to stop us? We dare you. Come, try.
The poll question, is Rick Barnes making a mistake for not filling out his roster? That's where this started. Is Rick Barnes making a mistake for not filling out his roster? No, Barnes knows what he's doing. 70% of the votes, 30% of the vote, yes, you need everyone you can get. You need everyone you can get. So go ahead now and hit us up on that poll question that is on the YouTube page. And I want to replace it with something along the lines of college football want a nice coach? This isn't high school. And Kalen DeBoer is like super nice, like to the point that it's drawing criticism. Want to discuss that. Remind you that at Dynasty Pools and Spas, they have the best spas for the best price. You mentioned Off the Hook Sports, you get $500 off. Just stop by. If you're on I-75, it's right off the interstate in Athens. Stop by, say hello, and say hello to Scott, and you can pick up a free Celebrate 98 bug or a Off the Hook Sports t-shirt. So we would love for you to do that. Kalen DeBoer's just too nice. They're really nice at Dynasty Pools and Spas, too. 60 seconds, what Kalen DeBoer did to really make Nick Saban mad. You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready, because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. Just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish models, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals. Made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Jacob Warren asking you to like, subscribe, and share. Dave needs this.
Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate that. I want to replace the poll question with something
already up.
Already up? All right. So let me describe what was described to me by our friends at the Next Round. And Ryan Brown described it as Kalen DeBoer going up to his tee box at a pro-am event in Birmingham. And so many people were around him, as you would expect, that he autographed so many things that Nick Saban was behind him and had to wait. I don't want to make a big deal about Nick Saban waiting, although I'd say he wasn't too happy. The question, though, that was pervasive among our friends at the Next Round was, is Kalen DeBoer just too nice? Caleb, is this something that Kalen DeBoer is doing a lot like Josh Heupel cut media access? Is Kalen DeBoer just being nice right now because it's the right thing to do? Or did Alabama just go 180 in coaches?
I think Kalen DeBoer is a little bit insecure, but not in the way that Butch Jones was insecure. Okay, because that was a level of insecurity that was just pathetic to watch. Kalen DeBoer is insecure of, I'm a little out of place. Don't know if I took the right job. I really got to win over these fans. I really got to win over some fans and some people like this. So I got to do a lot of these type of things. And honestly, I think he's getting swept up from the pressure of the political culture with the boosters there. You know this, Dave. A college football coach in the SEC, you're not – the culture of these programs, they're not just looking for a coach a lot of times. They're looking for somebody they can hang out with on the golf course. Is that fair to say?
It's true. Or hang out with their kids, which leads me to something when you're done that I want to share with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think Kalen DeBoer is getting swept up in that a lot and is kind of falling for the idea that he needs to do this stuff. The problem is he doesn't. Because if Kalen DeBoer wins and just wins and focuses on football, there is not a booster in Alabama that will have the power to do anything to him. And
Amen.
You know,
and Nick Saban did something when he kicked Jimmy John, which was a linebacker they had, off the team for selling cocaine in the parking lot, which is frowned upon. And he kicked him off the team. And a lot of people thought that was a stupid move. So we look back at it now, and he got the discipline back pretty fast, like in a year. He had a disappointing first year, and then that team was disciplined, right? So it was well worth it to kick him off the team. I think it's well worth it for Kalen DeBoer to be the nice guy now. Get all those autographs signed, do all that stuff. And maybe he's the guy that pulls back on some access, which would be the opposite in how Josh Heupel has done it. He had very little access in the beginning, and then he's gotten more and more access as he's gone along. As a coach in general, our poll question today is what, Caleb?
Okay, so I made it a little fun. Should college football coaches, do they need to be nice or mean? And I have three answers. Nice, integrity matters. Mean, it's a cutthroat business. And then it doesn't matter either way.
Okay, so Dylan on the board says, you can be a jerk when you're winning. You can't be a nice guy when you're losing. That is very true. Do you want your head coach to be a jerk? Because let's face it, Tennessee hasn't had a head coach, successful head coach. I don't even count that decade that happened there. But they haven't had a coach that was just an all-out jerk, and I don't think they've had a coach that was just an all-out nice guy, if you want to talk about their big three, so to speak, or big two, I guess, which would be Fulmer and Johnny Majors. There is something cool, though, isn't there, about Nick Saban? Just seems like a real mean dude. He seems like he wants to rip your heart out. He's not coaching anymore, and I think he still wants to rip my heart out. There's something about your coach being a mean dude that's cool. However, I will take the intellectual that is Josh Heupel every single time over just the mean, emotional John Chavis style.
Well, there's two Nick Sabans, okay, guys? And I have to be honest. When Nick Saban took the job at Alabama, it's a totally different Nick Saban from the Nick Saban I knew when he was at LSU. Now, I was in high school when he was at LSU and middle school, but I was a big college football fan. Dave, honestly, go back and watch Nick Saban in press conferences and post-game interviews and things. He was the nicest person in the world during that time.
He was.
And then once he got his credibility and knew he didn't have to do this anymore and knew that he had the power, he became who he became. Now, I will be fair to Nick Saban on this. It's hard to run a program in college football, right? It's hard. When you're the head coach, there's so many things that happen that you can't control. And so Nick Saban had to deal with that all the time. He built such a good program at Alabama, and multiple times it almost always came undone because one idiot agent took advantage of one player behind his back that almost got Alabama in trouble. You remember those things happening, right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And people would go, and then Nick Saban would lash out at the media and everybody over it. But he had the power to do that because he was so respected. I think a lot of times Nick Saban, and you can call me crazy on this, I think he was speaking for what a lot of coaches felt. They just couldn't say it because they had to be, you know, they had to schmooze a lot more than he did. And he was just speaking for a lot of them about some of the ways college football really hamstrings what coaches can do.
Timothy said, F your feelings. You're getting paid now. True. That's the ultimate underlying factor, but the coaches were getting paid beforehand. I guess what I'm asking, would you just the guy that embodies your program, the guy that is at the forefront, would you rather have the intellectual type like a Josh Heupel? And I think we would agree he's that type. Or would you rather have the fire and brimstone old school type of coach?
Let's not act like Nick Saban's not an intellectual too, though. Nick Saban is intellectual too, but.
Oh yeah. He does not fit either one of the descriptions I just threw out by themselves. He's a little bit of everything. So no. Let's take him out of the equation. Ed Orgeron is the only coach I can ever think of that was a fire and brimstone coach, emotional coach that won a national championship. Am I missing somebody here? I mean, Mack Brown was thought of as a player's coach. That's going way back.
Mack Brown was very level, though. In the olden days,
he wasn't a scary, mean guy, but he was a player's coach. When's the last time a scary, mean guy? Because I don't consider Nick Saban that. I will say, okay, here's one not too long ago. Kirby Smart. I think he's a mean dude. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think he's just, I think he's, have you heard some of his pregame speeches by some recorders snuck in there? They're pretty hell on earth. I mean, they're fire and brimstone.
He was great in press conferences, but in terms of his players, wasn't Steve Spurrier a mean guy to his offensive coordinator? He was hard on his quarterbacks, man. He would undress them.
Which the flip is, Nick Saban's loved by his players. He, in some sense, is a player's coach behind the scenes.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, if you get mentally tough players, it works. I'm going to go back and delve just history here because I'm a history guy. Bear Bryant was largely considered the greatest coach of all time before Nick Saban. For the record, he was a fire and brimstone coach. Like, as fire and brimstone as you could get, as brutal on his players as you could get. And we all know the story of the Junction Boys at Texas A&M when he took over in 54 and he felt his team was too soft. So he made them do military-style practices for 16 hours a day with no water in the middle of a Texas drought because he thought they were too soft. He walked in, apparently Texas A&M, this is how incompetently run they are and still and were back then. They're basically the boosters and oil money had a guaranteed, it was guaranteed that their sons would start on the team when Bear Bryant took over if you donate enough money. And Bear Bryant came in, and the first thing he said to the players was, "I don't care who your daddy is." And then he called all the season's ticket holders in, and he said, "I don't care who your son is, and I don't care how much money you give. I'm not going to start them just because you're there."
Okay, and but let me – what I'm asking, though, are those days over? Is there still room for that guy? Or is there not even room for that guy anymore? Portions of the program brought to you by Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. He brings you Jimmy Himes on a Wednesday. So is there room for that guy anymore, Caleb?
Bronco, 59,829, 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540, 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Go to Ray Varner Ford, tell him Off the Hook Sports sent you. Is there even a place for that guy in college football anymore, that fire and brimstone type of coach?
Yes, but I think they're directing their ire at the place they should now, which is the fire and brimstone should be directed at people who try to have influence on the program that don't deserve to have influence on the program. You know, and so rather than the players, now I think you coach players like you parent them. You know what I mean? You give them tough love, you support them. You tell them you're here to support them, but you know, you give them tough love. You don't disrespect them. It sounds like from what you're talking about, John Chavis just outright disrespected his players, didn't he?
He was very Saban-like. The defensive players loved him. Loved him. But he yelled at him a lot. And okay. I told you there's a big difference between calling you stupid and saying you acted stupid. And I believe that you don't call somebody an A, you know, you say you're acting like an A. Go ahead.
Okay,
he never called anybody a name, I don't believe.
Which is different from Butch Jones, who did disrespect players, right? He just straight up disrespected them.
Right. He would say, GD, you're effing idiot. I mean,
yeah,
that he said is the worst thing that could come out of your mouth other than your mother's a whatever.
Yes, so here's what I believe. The fire and brimstone, the John Chavis way, or the Nick Saban way, perfectly reasonable on the football field. You want to toughen your guys up. But the undressing of people... I think there's room for that, but you have to do it towards the people who try to have their hands on the program, and you have to undress them. And Nick Saban was undressing a lot of people involved with Alabama that shouldn't have been involved, wasn't he? He was willing to humiliate them. And that's what I think there needs to be more of. There needs to be more coaches who come out and they have to have the credibility to do this, but who will publicly undress and humiliate every sleazeball agent, booster, whatever, NIL predator, because there are predators in the NIL game, guys, that tries to have their hand on the program and tries to have their influence. That's who you undress, and you should humiliate them. And I would go further than Nick Saban. You should make them famous and make the college football world know their names.
Fine with that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everybody knows Josh Heupel's name after 2022 and the success that he's had at Central Florida and Tennessee before and after. I dismissed Oklahoma. Tennessee and Oklahoma play this year, right? I think it's the first month of the season. What did Josh Heupel have to say about that, Caleb?
Josh Heupel was asked about playing Oklahoma at the Big Orange Caravan the other night. And when he was asked about it, he said to the reporter, "Yeah, before you said that, I didn't even know they were on the schedule. Obviously, for me, I spent a lot of time there. Excited to go back and have an opportunity to compete there."
Tell you what, it is Four Downs, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Dynasty Pools and Spas.
Four Downs brought to you by Dynasty Spas, the most comfortable spas made in the United States of America, right here in East Tennessee. Drop in for the all-new showroom in Athens, Dynasty Spas, perfect for all four seasons. Four Downs, presented by Off the Hook Sports.
All you have to do is stop in and say hello, and you can pick up a free Celebrate 98 book, the stories behind the 1998 national championship season for the Vols, and you can pick up a Off the Hook Sports t-shirt. Just stop by right off the interstate at I-75 in Athens. So, Coop, what should people do that want to be a part of the program?
Cooper Mays here. Hit like and subscribe.
Very good. What down, Coop?
Coop here. First down.
Obviously, Josh Heupel knew that he was playing Oklahoma and that the Sooners were on the Vols schedule. What do you make of him dismissing that? I think it's kind of gamesmanship. I'd like for him to give us something, but that's going to be second down. He's not going to do that, is he?
I think this was, we talked about undressing and him humiliating things earlier. This was his subtle way of humiliating Oklahoma. It's almost a way of saying, I don't care about that place anymore.
So I'm going subtle, you're going humiliating. What do you say on the message board before we revisit the poll question? Humiliating. He just made a flippant comment, Caleb.
How would you feel? Okay, what if Tennessee fans, how would you feel if T. Martin were coaching at another SEC school and then that school was about to visit Tennessee and T. Martin's like, I forgot they were on the schedule. I guess it'll be cool to go back. That would feel like a little bit like he just doesn't care about us anymore. He resents us.
Okay, I'll give you that. Second down.
Cooper Mays here. Second down.
Do you worry that Josh Heupel puts too much on this one game because of his background? Because I'm going to go first. I do. I think he saw what Missouri did last year in a totally different defensive look. And I think he's going to be tempted to do something vastly outside of his comfort zone. And that, Tennessee fans, should scare you. He needs to do what he's good at. And he's good at a lot of things. I don't think you need to get exotic to beat Oklahoma.
Yes, and I also I actually worry, too, for his sake on that, largely because I think NC State's an underrated opponent ahead of Oklahoma. Mm. So you cannot be looking ahead of NC State to Oklahoma. You absolutely can't. That's a tough game. And, I mean, guys, NC State may be a tougher game than Oklahoma, honestly. But, yes, I definitely worry for Josh Heupel's sake that he's putting too much on the Oklahoma game. But on the flip side, Dave, I also worry for Josh Heupel's sake that he's not a great coach on the road. So maybe he should be putting a lot into the Oklahoma game since that's his first road game of the year.
Okay, let me ask you that.
Tennessee center Cooper Mays here. Third down.
Because we already answered second down. So third down would be this, brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas. Just stop by off I-75. Pick up a free off-the-hook sports t-shirt just for saying hello to Scott. Third down, though, with the Sooners, do Tennessee fans give Josh Heupel a pass on the road? It's funny. I hear national media, and they all talk about Tennessee's struggles on the road. Whereas when I talk to Tennessee fans, it almost seems as if, well, that's just happenstance. The wrong games happen on the road. The right games happen at home. You think there's a serious concern about Josh Heupel coaching on the road?
There's a huge concern. There have been Tennessee has lost three road games in the past 2 years in which they were favored. They lost by 25 against South Carolina. They were 21-point favorites. Then they lost by double digits to Florida. They were 8-point favorites. Those are two giant red flags. Now, you can say Jeremy Banks. You can say Cooper Mays being out. But then they were favored at Missouri last year. And then they got blown. They didn't just lose to Missouri. They got blown out. Again, you could say Eli Drinkwitz changed the game plan. But Dave, how many explanations are we going to have for Tennessee losing road games in which they're favored in?
Fair. Fair. Let's get to fourth down. And I hate the term must win, but I'm kind of going to go there. It's brought to you by friends at Dynasty Pools and Spas. If you're headed north or south, it's right off the interstate in Athens on I-75. Stop by, take a look at the showroom, and pick up a free Off the Hook Sports t-shirt just by saying, "Hey, Scott, Off the Hook Sports sent me." You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready. Because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. They're just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemished bottles, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com. First person that tells me you stopped by Dynasty Pools and Spas and picked up a free t-shirt, I'll give you a monthly membership to Hooker's Corner where you can win fantastic prizes. Caleb, so fourth down is this.
All SEC center Cooper Mays here. Fourth down.
It's a little deal, a huge deal, a monster deal, the biggest deal of all time. What deal would it be if Tennessee lost to Oklahoma? Because I'm seeing on the message board it's a must win. I totally disagree with that. I think looking at college football wrong. I think you can lose a game now in September and you're fine. I understand the everything that is around that game with his history there, but I'm just telling you, it is not a must win sort of game. Tennessee could lose that game, still win a national championship. Caleb is about to say, because I can see it in his face,
"That's crazy."
Go, Caleb.
It is a must win game because if Tennessee doesn't
win. What about my take? Is it?
"That's crazy."
Your take makes sense, but you were only thinking within the context of the season and the college football playoff. I'm thinking within the context of Josh Heupel long term. And Travis actually just brought it up. You lose to Oklahoma, it's time to start evaluating Josh Heupel's longevity within the program.
So Travis says too on the message board, so you're not alone.
No, I cited Travis. I wasn't going to steal that from Travis. I had to cite him that. Yeah, that's the truth.
You cite him or not, though. It's up to you. Kidding, Travis.
If Tennessee loses to Oklahoma, you start evaluating if Heupel is the long-term answer, and that creeps into recruiting. That creeps into the transfer portal and all the gains you can make, and things could unravel really fast. There's some types of games that do this. That's one of those games. And I'm sorry, Tennessee cannot lose to Oklahoma. They can't. I don't care that they're 5-point underdogs. They have to go beat Oklahoma. I've been saying the whole time, they've got a generational quarterback. And look, for the purposes of our show, I'll just tell you guys this because people think we hate Tennessee, Dave, funny enough, because we're objective. Guys, we want Tennessee to be good. It's so good for us. And as Shannon Terry once said, college football is on the precipice of a rocket ship being launched to the moon. Tennessee could be at the forefront of that precipice with Nico Iamaleava and this offense over the next couple of years. And we are striking gold being able to cover that in this moment. So it's really bad for us if that doesn't happen. They have to beat Oklahoma or else they will not be on. Put it this way. If Tennessee doesn't beat Oklahoma, they're not going to be, the coverage of Tennessee won't be one of those astronauts on the rocket ship going to the moon at that point. They won't be one of those astronauts.
Okay. Appreciate your passion. I think you guys on the message board too are way overplaying this game. I mean, and I think you're looking at college football wrong. I think that it's okay to lose a game now and again. That's going to happen. And you're also going to lose a prospect or two, one of which the Lady Vols new head coach has lost a couple. She, unlike Rick Barnes, says that you need a full roster and they need more help. Is this setting things up that if things don't go well with the Lady Vols that you've kind of put to, you've kind of given yourself a backup plan, a little fan equity? We'll discuss what Coach Caldwell had to say about her current recruiting class. She's not okay with it like Rick Barnes is. Stay tuned. More after this with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports.
Fifth year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment like American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
There's your bear.
Experience it all at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Need a quick fix or routine maintenance? Visit our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. Keep your Ford running smoothly with the experts in our service department. Ready for your next Ford? Our sales team's here to guide you through. 24 Ford Badlands Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
Who's this guy?
Hello, wizard!
The Dave Hooker Show.
Ooh.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
What?
YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the free Off the Hook Sports app. Back to Dave Hooker.
We would absolutely love for you to become a member of Hooker's Corner. Why? Because you can win fantastic prizes. As a matter of fact, I'm giving some away as we speak. I had an opportunity. A couple people signed up over the weekend. and you get your selection thanks to our friends at Apex Apparel of this picture right here. The following is, I'm going to share my screen. There it is. Sign up. It's just $9.98 a month, and we love having you a part. We'll also talk a lot of recruiting. Got an update on Thomas Blackshear there, and talking Madden, Ia Malueva, huh? Did I say that right? Ia Malueva. And we've got him up there. Also, we will have the upcoming Sports Treasures gift of the month for our upcoming trivia question. We love doing that as part of Hooker's Corner. You do have to be a member, $9.98. And we want to thank Sports Treasures, carrying over 5 million Sports Treasures and so much more. Follow on Facebook for the best sports memorabilia. Daily updates, Sports Treasures TN on Facebook, Sports Treasures TN. And also remind you that we will have these prizes to give away. Let me see if I can find those as I scroll down. The license plate's off the board. We've already had somebody jump at the license plate. So I love those hats up there. If you would like to become a member of Hooker's Corner, you just tell me. And as long as we have those hats available, I'll hook you up with a hat just for signing up, a Celebrate 98 t-shirt as well. So there's a lot going on. Again, all you have to do is sign up, just $9.98 a month. We'd love to have you in there. And you get great interaction with me and Caleb Calhoun. Speaking of which, he is the one, the only Caleb Calhoun, and we bring him back on the screen. And Caleb, Kim Caldwell, Tennessee Lady Vols new head basketball coach, said what?
So Kim Caldwell at the Big Orange Caravan said the exact opposite of what Rick Barnes said. So they were talking about personnel. And she said, I think we need one or two more players. Which
now I think you're being a little hard on her, because that sounds the opposite of what Rick Barnes said. But Rick Barnes is, in all fairness, waiting on Chaz Lanier, whereas she is trying to totally rebuild the program. So I think you're being a little bit unfair to put them up against each other.
Well, it was intriguing only in the sense of she's already added three transfers, Alyssa Latham, Lazaria Spearmid, and Samara Spencer. And she, without saying it, said what John Adams has been saying, which is that this roster is horrible. Yeah. And so she is not happy with the state of the roster. And saying, I think we need, you know, if this were Josh Heupel, see, Rick Barnes is honest one way, Kim Caldwell is honest the other. The PC way to do it as a coach would be like, we're evaluating everything we can in the transfer portal. If there's somebody we see fit, we'll go get them. We're going to see what we can do and then call it a day, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't go out and say, oh, no, we need a couple more guys. We need a couple more players. She's straight up saying this team's not good enough to be better than it was last year, and that's my goal. And I don't know. The difference between the two, I will say, I talked about this at the beginning of the show, depends on how you, if you're a coach who's getting enough talent where you can adapt to your personnel, or a coach where you're rebuilding a program and start and using it by running a system. Kim Caldwell's running a system. Up-tempo basketball, shoot the three in transition, press, try to steal, all of that good stuff. Because of that, she has to focus on the transfer portal more, because she has to find personnel fits. Rick Barnes is getting highly talented players. He can adapt to his personnel. He can be more selective. So I think that is where the difference is. So when she says one or two more, part of this is Kim Caldwell is saying, look, to be able to do what I want to do, I need to be able to go 10 deep. I just don't have players who fit my style right now to be able to go 10 deep.
Lee, 10, and, I mean, 10 deep's like a minimum. I mean, yeah. I've watched what she does, and well, I don't want to say minimum, because you're not going to have 11 or 12, but it's practically a necessity. I mean, I think you pretty much have to have that many in order to get by in her offense. If you don't have at least 8 that can play quality minutes, I think that's very scary. It's scary being on bad tires. That's why Quality Tire Pro is right there on Cherokee in downtown Chattanooga, qualitytirepros.com. The Eberle family has been serving Chattanooga since 1957. All major brands of tires and other work on your car as well. Stop by, say, hey, Bo, Off the Hook Sports said hello. Hey, Bo, Off the Hook Sports said hello. Quality Tire Pros. So they're two completely different situations, whereas I would say that she could use a body. I'm not going to say that Rick Barnes going into a season without a scholarship field is normal because it sounds weird, but I can at least understand it from his perspective. Whereas if she hadn't had any success in the spring transfer portal, I'd be like, uh-oh, that's not good.
Oh, yeah. Kim Caldwell actually needs a body. She needs multiple bodies, and she's already gone for that because some of these players that she's added that are transfers, they're athletic to fit her style, but they don't fit it fully. There was another revealing part of what she said, Dave, when she was going for transfers, because she talked about Samira Spencer, and she said, quote, I would take a team full of point guards if I could. And
that to me is very insightful. Phil Jackson said a very similar thing. I wouldn't say point guards, but he thought that the future of the NBA, which has proven to be true, would be Scottie Pippen type guys. He didn't know that they would be taller than Scottie Pippen type guys, but can do a little bit of everything, bring the ball up. I like that she says that. I like positionless basketball.
Yeah, that's what I think she said. She wants everybody to be able to run the point. And you notice she went for athletic forwards who could play in transition and kind of had more control at the top of the key.
Let's not debate who's better, LeBron or Michael Jordan, but what did both of those two players do when they needed to? They brought the ball up. So I think it's great if your best player can bring the ball up. I don't know who that is on this team. I don't even know if they have a best player yet.
It's funny you say that. There was a period in the 90s where the Ron Harper was hurt and Michael Jordan was asked to play point guard for 12 games. He averaged a triple-double during those 12 games. So people that say he couldn't have played point guard, he could have been the best point guard of all time if he wanted to be. And so it's easily.
And Travis, you're right. Go ahead.
So it's almost like Candace Parker changed the game for this way, because Candace Parker was a positionless player, wasn't she? Wasn't she? She brought the ball up, but she played in the post a lot.
She was, and I'm glad you brought her up because I want to ask you a question. How many of the Lady Vols on this roster would you say Pat Summitt's elite teams were the Meeks?
The Meeks and Candace Parker Meeks, and then the Bridget Gordons before then, yeah.
Well, now let's go first with line them up.
Okay. The first one
Bridget Gordon would be a little bit before your time. So I don't want to go there, okay? Because you're a younger man. So let me go with the two, the Meeks and the
Candace Parker team.
Okay. Those two teams. Tennessee has how many Lady Vols that would start for either of those teams right now?
Zero.
Tennessee has how many players that would contribute for either of those teams right now?
They have maybe three for the 07-08 for the Candace Parker teams, because those Candace Parker teams weren't that deep. That was Candace Parker doing all the scoring.
You're telling me that Tennessee only has three or four players that could have played on those championship teams that are basically championship worthy. My goodness, Caleb.
You suck. Yeah,
you're just tearing apart the Lady Vols.
Let's be fair here on another layer. First of all, that Meeks team in 97-98, that's the most talented team in women's basketball history.
Right. I would say a lot like the Nuggets or the Warriors, excuse me. The Warriors were when they added Durant. Yes, I would
agree. Yes, you had Tamika Catchings, who was a top five WNBA player of all time, and Shamika Holtzclaw, who, if she wasn't battling her personal demons, would have been a top five WNBA player of all time. Maybe the greatest of all time if she wasn't battling those. So that's two Hall of Fame caliber players on that team. The Candace Parker teams, it was more Candace Parker and a bunch of complimentary role players. So I think they could find ways into that system. But also you have to remember, to be fair to this team, back then, two schools had a monopoly on all recruiting, Dave. So the top 10 players, Tennessee got five of them and UConn got five of them. You know what I mean? So it's like, now they're so much more spread out. I don't even think if Tennessee returns to where it was, it still won't have the type of teams that could compete with those teams, because those Tennessee teams had a monopoly on recruiting. They just dominated the trail.
Here's the other thing too. If this had been 20 years previously, you could land one Candace Parker or one Shamika Holdsclaw and it changed your program. Now I don't feel like there's one elite player a year. Please tell me if I'm wrong. I don't feel like there's one elite player of the year. Now, every once in a while there can be, just like there can be in the men's side. But it felt like if you got Maya Moore, you were going to win three championships. If you got Shamiqua Holtzclaw, you were going to win three championships. If you got Candace Parker, you were going to be in the running. It doesn't feel like that type of player is there. Is that good for the Lady Vols in that they probably can't land those type of players right now? Or is it bad in that they don't have an easy flip?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that, because they had a period where they were able to still land those type of players where they were recruiting under Holly Warlick, and they just weren't coached well and developing well when they got to Tennessee. So I think it's bad for the Lady Vols, but I think the biggest reason isn't the changing landscape of women's basketball. I just think they fell behind in a lot of ways. And Holly Warlick, I don't know why. She knew basketball. That's one that, Dave, I got to be honest, and maybe you know this with coaches. Have you ever seen a coach that knows the game, inherits a roster of talent, and somehow they just don't perform well for the coach? And I mean, can't
have
explain.
I ever seen bad coaching?
Well, no, yeah. But the coach knows the game. You would assume the coach is a great X's and O's coach, and they have a lot of talent. Somehow it just doesn't work.
Well, Ron Zook had that reputation as a special teams coach. I'm trying to think of a good example. He had the reputation as an elite special teams coach. Now it sounds funny, okay? And a great recruiter. Now, he did turn out to be a pretty good recruiter. He got the talent lined up for down the road in Florida. But that's the closest thing that I can think to a comparison that he just went out there and bleeped the bed.
That's actually a great – well, not Ron Zook, but another Florida coach, Dan Mullen. I can't explain Dan Mullen not working out at Florida. I thought that was so easily going to work out.
I did too. He was one of my three. I think I've told you this before, with Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, that I thought were locks. He was one of my three locks. I was told he didn't realize how intense the recruiting was, and he did not like that. It's one thing to recruit 4 or 5 hours a day and still put together a football team. It's another thing altogether to recruit 8-10 hours a day. And I think with everybody recruiting in Florida, it's not like it used to be. It hasn't been that long since recruiting budgets wouldn't allow you unlimited trips to Florida. But now there's probably 50 schools that can go to Florida once a week if they want to. So that whole thing that Steve Spurrier took advantage of, where they're going to be a mighty Gator just because they're down the road, that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, I agree. So let's channel that back to the Lady Vols. So if you're Pat Summitt, you're the greatest coach of all time. You know, Holly Warlick's your right-hand woman, right? You would think that if she was involved heavily with everything Pat Summitt did, she would be able to be a great head coach on her own. She takes over, and she actually not only inherits, but recruits a roster that's as elite. Doesn't it blow your mind how she wasn't as successful? You have to think she knew the game the way Pat Summitt did, right?
Well, didn't you think that most of those recruits just thought she was Pat Summitt part two, which is idiotic to think that, because that was one of the greatest individuals I'd ever been around, period. I don't care if it's a coach or what, but didn't people kind of think that, or at least hope that?
My thing is, I thought she at least knew the game well enough to be a good X's and O's coach. I mean, cause she was Pat Summitt's lead assistant for 30 years. Like,
more with motivation and.
So is that's another layer though? Cause she knows X's and O's and she has the talent. I mean, I guess maybe she couldn't motivate her players the way she needed to, but isn't that like, I sometimes wonder if that's overrated. Like, if you know ball and you have the players, I can't process how you can't be a good coach then.
No, but she would be an example. And I think it's motivating, players during those dog days of practice in December to get better. I don't think it's motivating them to play UConn, because UConn's playing in Thompson Bowling Arena. You're up for that game. No question about it. You're up. Hey, by the way, I think it's Elias. I've reached out to the person who wanted the John Anderson helmet. So if you're out there, you should have a message from me from the Patreon page. Check your spam. Not the most professional way to end the program, but that's how we go, because I want you to get your helmet. He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. Maybe a couple of former Vols on the program Friday, as I'm just in the need to talk some big-time football. He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. This has been a presentation of Off the Hook Sports.